I still have not decided if I'm going to go to where I'm going next. And I guess the Lord is working with that, because I want to share from the fourth chapter of John again today about the woman at the well. Sunday I will move on a little further. I do want to cover a few of the verses in the fourth chapter of John tonight. I want us to maybe ask a question. When Jesus saw the crowds, when in the story of the woman at the well, the woman, after figuring out Jesus as someone amazing, when Jesus encountered the Samaritan woman, and he told her all about herself, then she left and went away. And when she went away, a bunch of Samaritans started coming out to him. The whole city started coming out to him because of what she had told them. And when he saw them coming, he saw people very often differently than the way we see them. And he saw people the way we ought to see them. But for some reason or another, we see a crowd of people wherever they are, and we don't see what Jesus saw. And so maybe by looking at the Word of God and seeing what Jesus saw when he saw people, maybe God will help us see what we need to see when we see people. Let me see where I want to start reading. I'm going to just be honest with you. I'm not as ready for tonight as I would like to be. I think by prayer and by the Holy Spirit, I can still be ready enough and share enough that if you'll listen and ask God to teach you tonight, you'll learn from God and you'll learn something that should be a positive influence on your life. When I say I'm not as ready as I should be, it doesn't mean that I'm not ready to share you truth. I just rather you know in advance that I have not had the preparation time that I would like to have. Let's start reading in verse 15. Jesus had told the lady about if she knew who he was, she would have asked him and he would have given her living water. In verse 15, so the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw." And now, a lot of speculation about what she was meaning. You know, if you will give me this living water, that'd be great. I won't have to come here every day. I won't have to come here to draw water. And the speculation of why she didn't want to come there to draw water, some have speculated is because she had had five husbands. She was living with someone without being married to them at that day. And that was not as publicly as acceptable in that day as it is today. You understand that? And she didn't like the embarrassment of coming there, because not only did she come there to draw water, all the other women came there to draw water. And she was probably the conversation of some of the other ladies that came there. I don't know of anybody that likes to talk about other people more than ladies and men that work at the paper mill. I've always heard that women like to gossip, and I don't know that to be a fact any more than men or not, but I do know that there's a lot of gossip that comes out of the paper mill. You know, when we have sin in our life, we don't like other people to talk about it. We have sin in our life, we don't really even want to be around the Word of God for the Word of God to talk about it. And yet this woman didn't. She was saying, "Man, if you give me that, I won't even have to come here anymore." And so Jesus said, "Lady, you're not dealing with some problems here." And so Jesus goes directly to her and he says, "Go call your husband and come here." And the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Now that's all she said. Is she lying? She's not lying. Is she telling the truth? Is she telling the truth in order to deceive, or is she just being open about the truth? She's hiding, she's telling a little bit of the truth in order to hide the whole truth. She had been married to five different men. She was living with her boyfriend without being married right now. And she didn't bother telling the Lord that. Now, folks, I'm telling you, that's just the way people are. And I'm not saying that I would be any differently. I mean, if someone asked me a question like that, I'm not going to go out and tell them all about me and every sin I've got and every problem I've got. But Jesus, my friend, he knew, and God loved her enough, he wanted her to deal with her sinfulness, okay? And so sometimes the Spirit of God has to just uncover all of our ugliness so that God can deal with our ugliness. And there are a lot of people that will hide their sins and cover up their sin and never deal with their sin. But then when they're found out, then they'll deal with their sin. And everybody says, well, the only reason they ever confess it is because it was exposed. Well, the only one reason this woman ever confessed her sin is because it was exposed. So don't think that when someone is caught sinning and they repent or they ask forgiveness or they get right, don't think that that's not real. It may be real, it may not be real, but the fact that they got caught is not a reason for you to conclude their repentance is not sincere. Because this woman's repentance was sincere, even though she was trying to hide it up until you can't hide no more. And Jesus said to her, you have correctly said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you have now is not your husband. This you have said truly. Now, twice in two verses, the Lord has said, ma'am, you know, what you said is true. And then he turns around again and he says, the fact that you have no husband, that's true. But in the in-between, he said, yeah, you don't have a husband. You've had five and you're living with someone, your boyfriend now. And yet Jesus is using a little bit of a sarcasm, honestly. Say, yeah, that's true. That's true. But there's a lot more true about you too. Jesus knew all of her past sins. He knew her present secret sin. I want you to understand something. Jesus knows all of our past sins. He knows all of our secret sins. Unless we've repented of our sin and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, he looks at us as we're in the righteousness of Christ. When Jesus pointed out all of her falsity, the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. And now look, she's trying to change the whole subject. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say, in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. And you know, I think I said Sunday what she was trying to do. She's just trying to change the subject. Let's get off this subject. But Jesus didn't get off. Yeah, Jesus kind of got off that subject, but he didn't get off of what he really wanted to talk about. Jesus said to her, woman, believe in me, the hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, Jesus is saying to this lady, ma'am, there's a lot of people that have a whole lot of confidence in where they worship and going to worship. There's a lot of people that think, you know, I go to church, I do this, I do that, I do it weekly, and I'm fine. Jesus says going somewhere every week is not what makes you fine. He's talking about this lady. You've got to worship me in spirit and in truth. And so Jesus is saying, man, just because you go someplace all the time doesn't mean you're right with God. It didn't then, it doesn't now. The woman said to him, I know what that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. At that point, his disciples came and they were amazed that he had been speaking with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek or why do you speak with her? I mean, they knew better than, they knew enough about Jesus. Just don't ask him those kind of questions, even though we're thinking them. Let's don't ask him that. So the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all the things that I've done. Is this not the Christ, is it? Or this is not the Christ, is it? Now she was asking that not to cast doubt in their mind. She was asking them to imply, I believe this is the Christ. You know, I really do. I think this is who it is. What do you think? Y'all need to come and see. Now, so they went out of the city and they were coming to it. Now, verse 31 and 4 is what I want to talk about. All of the men that she had said, is this the Christ? They were leaving the city and they were coming to see Jesus. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples were saying to one another, no one brought him anything to eat, did he? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me his work. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Now, there are several things in that passage that Jesus was saying to the disciples. One, he was saying, I'm in human flesh. I am in the likeness of human flesh. And I am man. But I'm not man like everybody else is man. Not only am I human, I'm also God. And I don't have to have physical nourishment like you have to. Now, it doesn't mean he didn't eat and he grow, and didn't mean he didn't benefit. It doesn't mean he wasn't hungry. It doesn't mean food didn't satisfy him. And it doesn't mean that food on a day-to-day basis wasn't real in his life. But he was saying to them, I'm God. And if I don't eat food, I can still be okay. You understand? He was somewhat saying to them, even though I'm man, I'm more than man. Now, I don't think that's the most important thing he was saying there. The second thing he was saying when he said, what verse is that? 34? Yeah. When he said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. He was saying to them, sharing the gospel. Doing the will of God. What's the will of God for Jesus? The will of God for Jesus is seeking to save those who are lost. He had two works, the work on the cross and then the work of seeking those who are lost. The work of God, y'all listen to me, the work of God is seeking the lost. Redeeming the lost. The will of God for Jesus was that he would die on the cross and give his blood and then bring men to faith in himself. That was the work of God. That was the will of God for Jesus. And he said, you know, what I need, what fills me up is when I am bringing people to faith in myself. That fills me up. That satisfies me. What I need is to bring people to faith in myself. Now, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. If that was Jesus' food, what should our food be? Now, I know we have to eat. I know we probably could eat a whole lot less than we do. I went to the hospital today to talk to a lady about eating a lot less than I do. But we do have to eat. Folks, we have way too much of a tendency to think that why we're here is for a lot of things. Why we're saved has a much, much broader purpose. I'm telling you, why we're saved, why we're here, is a lot narrower focus than we have a tendency to focus on. I'm just telling you, folks, we get so sidetracked into thinking that a whole lot of things are important. But to Jesus, one thing was most important. Denon was telling me a conversation that he overheard and kind of participated in, but one of the church members over Promised Land Baptist Church was talking about what God was doing in their church and some of the things their church had done to hopefully promote reaching people for Christ. Another guy in on the conversation said, well, our pastor doesn't believe in using anything like that as a draw to get people to church. Now, don't get me wrong, because you don't know his heart and I don't know his heart. And we certainly don't need to become to think that things can bring people to Jesus. They can't. But we also don't need to use for an excuse not to do anything. And that is a much bigger danger than the other. We're a whole lot more in danger of using excuses to not go to visitation, to not participate in Bible school, not to help with these things to reach youth and reach children. We're a lot more easy to make excuses, say, well, if God wants to do it, God will do it. No, my friend. The problem is we don't have the vision that Jesus had. Jesus's vision was, my work is to win sinners to me. That's what we need to be about. It's not about us anymore. It's about new converts. It's about bringing new people to Christ. So we need to get the heart of Christ to bring new people to faith in Christ and do whatever we need to do to bring new people to faith in Christ. Not to rely on gimmicks, not to, dull down the gospel, not to change the message, but, my friend, to work and to labor and to give so that unsaved people can come to know Jesus Christ. My food is to do the will of him that sent me. Jesus said, this is what I hunger for, this is what I need, this is what I desire, is to bring people to faith in myself. And then he says, do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, that they are white for the harvest. Jesus looked out there and he saw a whole bunch of men coming to him. A whole bunch of guys coming. When Jesus saw a crowd of men, what did he see? He saw a harvest. He saw people that needed to be saved. That's what he saw. He had compassion on people. So Marvin has hinted one word picture. You said bringing in the sheaves, not bringing in the sheep, right? And the sheaves is a gathered up crop, right? I thought you said bringing in the sheep at first, but thank you. You had it right. I just misheard. Bringing in the harvest. Jesus, when he saw a crowd, he saw people that needed to be harvested. But Marvin said something else. He had compassion on them. So there's another really good word picture of when Jesus saw a crowd, what did he see? He saw a harvest. Give me another illustration of what Jesus saw. Yeah, but that is not going to work, Johnny. That's not the picture. Huh? He saw their lostness. Give me the word picture that's used in the Bible. Well, no, that I'm a totally different word picture. Not a field that's white unto harvest. Not a field, not a harvest. When he saw a crowd of people, what did he see? Sheep having no shepherd. He saw a bunch of people that were hurt, a bunch of people that were in danger, a bunch of people who needed help, a bunch of people that without a shepherd, they were going to die. That's what Jesus saw when he saw a crowd. And when we see a crowd, what do we see? When you and I go to a football game and we look up there and the stands are full, what do we see? Chaos. A sheep without a bunch of shepherd, without a shepherd. Huh? We just see a bunch of random people. Or we see a Crossett-Hamburg rivalry. Or we see a very small crowd because the team's no good. Or we see a big crowd because they're winning. But we just see a crowd of people. We go to Walmart, and when we walk into Walmart and there's five people in the line in front of us, what do we see? You do see a bunch of groceries sometimes, don't you? You see five people in front of you in the line in Walmart. What do you see? You see a bunch of people in your way. We see a bunch of people in our way. We see people wearing funny hair turbans. What do we see? Not your wife after the shower, you know. What do you see? You see someone at the airport wearing a turban. What do you see? You see an enemy. You see on the street a woman wearing very, very provocative clothes walking down the side of the street at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. What do you see? What did Jesus see? A woman that needed him. A woman that needed a life-changing experience with himself. So if Jesus sees a harvest that needs to be harvested, if he sees sheep without a shepherd, if he sees a woman that can be forgiven, why don't we see that? Why don't we see that? Because we're sinful. You're right. We're humanly sinful. That's right. We just hang around. We talk about it. But the reason we talk about it, we don't see. We don't see. That woman, before she ever went back to Samaria, she saw something we don't see. she saw all of these people that need that guy. Jesus gave her those eyes to see. Yeah. But if we're saved, if we're saved, if we're going to heaven, if we've been forgiven, if the Holy Spirit of God lives within us, why don't we see it? When, you know, I thank God for our church. I thank God for Miss Loretta. Right now, tonight, she's the only black person here. Miss Loretta, you don't feel out of place, do you? You feel welcome. Isn't that great? I mean, folks, but we know that in the culture we live in, there's a lot of people that still have a problem with that. Both black people having a problem with white people having a problem with black people. But when Jesus saw the Samaritan woman, I'm going to tell you, there was more hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans, more hatred between them that's ever existed between black and white. But that's not what Jesus saw. Jesus saw someone who needed him. So why don't we see what Jesus saw? I'm going to kind of give you my idea behind the matter. Walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. That's right. It is, but there are a lot of saved hearts that desire does not flow through us like it should. We're humans. We've got sin. So we've got to do something. Give us the scripture again. Walk by the Spirit and you'll not carry out the lust of the flesh. Now, here's the deal, guys. We spend a whole lot more time watching TV, getting our cues about the world from TV. We get our views of the Democrats from Fox News. We get our views of the Republicans from MSNBC. We get our views of American life from the television. Instead of getting our views of what life ought to be from the Word of God by the Holy Spirit, you're not gonna change the way you look at the world unless you change where you get information. You know? And if we spend 40 hours a week watching the media and 4 minutes a week in the Word of God, we're never going to look at other people like Jesus looked at people. And Jesus said, you know, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work. Now, what was the work that Jesus wanted to accomplish? First of all, His work was the cross, right? And then what was His other work, or the rest of His work? Bringing people to the cross. Seeing people converted. And when a woman tries to change the subject and talk about mountains, he doesn't quit. When she says, yeah, I don't have a husband, he didn't quit. He said, woman, you need a well of water in you, and I can give you that well of water. She said, that just went right over my head. I don't understand that kind of talk. And he just kept on, and he kept on, and he kept on. And I'm just telling you, folks, we've got to give a passion for winning people, bringing people to faith in Christ. I've got to go to one other thing, or we're not going to. I've got two things I want to say. One, we need to pray and read so that God will let us see in people what He sees. And two, He talks about a harvest, verse 35. You say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. Now, typically you plant a crop and then you have to wait, right, for a harvest. You plant corn, you wait. You plant beans, you wait. You don't plant and you harvest at the same time. But Jesus says spiritually it's not always like that. Sometimes you can plant and harvest the same day. But he says, you say there are yet 4 months and then the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields. They are white, already for harvest. And then he says, already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. Now this is saying several things. One, in most farms in that day, the guy that planted, he also what? He reaped. But if he had a big farm, he had people that worked for him. And some of them may sow, and some of them may plow, and some of them may harvest. When my granddaddy was a farm manager for a real large farm when I was a teenager, my granddaddy worked on one farm, 1,200 acre farm. That's what he worked on all the time. Until harvest. When it came harvest time, he went with the cotton harvest, and the other guys went with the bean and the rice harvest. My granddaddy went with this harvest. So someone actually sowed the cotton, no matter where it was on the three farms. Someone sowed, someone plowed, someone watered. But when it came harvest time, my granddaddy followed the cotton harvest. And we harvested cotton. We sometimes harvested cotton that we didn't plant, we didn't water, we didn't sow. Okay? And he's showing here that what's important to Jesus is harvesting, right? Reaching lost people. That's the work of Christ, reaching lost people. That's the food of Christ, reaching lost people, reaching out to lost people. And that should be our focus, reaching lost people. If we've got something else as a focus, we've got the wrong focus. Reaching lost people. But in the text, you're going to see something. The sower is not always a reaper. Sometimes someone sows, and they may sow. And they may sow, and they may sow, and they may sow. And personally, they may not get to reap this one, or this one, or this one, or this one. That's discouraging, isn't it? It may take years. It may take someone. You may be a sower. And someone else may be a reaper. Which one is God going to reward? Both. You don't fail if you don't reap. If you sow and you sow and you sow and you sow and you sow, we need to believe what God's word says. 1 Corinthians 15:58. You know what God's word says? You need to know that your labor will not be empty. I got to remind myself of that when I preach Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday without seeing a convert. My labor is not vain. When you try to lead someone to Christ, you try, when you share, you're sowing. You may not reap, but your labor is not in vain. And it's kind of neat because what it says here is that already the guy that's reaping is receiving wages, he's gathering fruit for eternal life, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. I witnessed to a boy 2 years. I witnessed to a boy almost every night for 2 years, 5 nights a week for 2 years. And I never saw him saved. I went to college, came back from college after 3 years, and he was saved, he was chained, he was cleaned up. Saw me in Walmart, came walking across Walmart to say, "Do you remember me?" And I said, "Man, I'm sorry." And this clean cut, clean looking, shaved, short-haired boy, not that that's, you know, everything or anything. He said, "I'm Chuck, and you used to witness to me at Crompton's Corduroy every night." He said, "I got saved." I sowed, and I said, "Boy, I'm going to tell you something. When he told me who he was and that he got saved, I want to tell you, I was as happy as I could be happy. He who sows and he reaps, we both are happy." But we don't do near enough sowing. And we don't do near enough effort at reaping. But folks, if we get our vision right, if we get our hearts right as a church, we'll make it our vision, our priority to share the gospel with the world, to see the crowds as people who need Jesus, to do all that we can do so they can come to know Jesus. And when we don't see a harvest immediately, don't give up. Because God said, your labor is not worthless. Your labor is important. It matters. Now, Miss Karen handed me something. And I'm glad that God gave me this message on the day that Karen gave me this. Because this is not going to sound like, I mean, this is going to be kind of like Wayne Fox and Tom Arne and some of the others standing out on the highway out there waving people down to give them food, you know. There are lost people all over this area. And my wife has stuck her neck out and done all she can do to plan a fun day out there so we can meet people. When our church plans a fun day for lost people, when our church plans free barbecue for lost people, when we give tracts to lost people, when we do, my wife has stuck her neck out, planned an event, has asked people to help supply food, has asked people to sign up to work at a fun day that's 3 hours out of one Saturday of our lives. And she just wants people to say, "I'll come and help for an hour," or "I'll come and help for 2 hours if I can." And some, if they can work for 3 hours, they will. But she believes in sowing and sowing and sowing. Because if we sow and we sow and we sow, we will reap. God can give a harvest unimaginable. Someone was asking, I think it was Denon, was asking Steve Collins over at Hamburg, "How do you explain what has happened over there? A lot more people going to church." I think last week they had maybe 9 teenagers or young people profess Christ. Now, you can get false professions. But I don't know that any of those are false. I know we ought to be doing all that we can to get people to pray to ask Christ to save them. And this is just one of those things we can do to sow, because we see in the people in our area, they need Jesus. when we did that food thing, one of the cars that pulled up there and asked for food had an abundance of fresh marijuana in the car. Ross said, I'm not talking about a little bit. He said they probably got a trunk full. He said the smell of green marijuana was coming out of that vehicle. Crazy. He said, a little bit don't have that much smell. And that's bad. And they ought to be caught. And they ought to pay for the crime. But you know what? They still need Jesus. They need Jesus. What do we see? What do we see when we go around North CrossFit? Do we see messed up people, messed up families? Oh, there's a lot of them. But they need Jesus. They need Jesus. Now, Miss Karen said, if you can come tomorrow at 4 o'clock and help pass out some of these up and down some of these streets in North CrossFit, it'll help us get people to come. That is sowing. If you can come to work Saturday, that is sowing. Jesus said, don't mess around and let your thoughts think, because we haven't seen a harvest that our work's in vain. He said, it's not in vain. Our lives are vain if we don't labor. But if we labor and don't see fruit, then it's not vain. Folks, we need help with this, or it won't be near what it could be. We need help. We need help with Bible school. We need help with food for this. We need someone to sit there beside a jumper and make sure no kid lands on his head, and if he does, to take care of him. We need someone to man the putt-putt golf thing. We just need people who sees people in our area as people who need Jesus. And all of God's children said, amen.